B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, April 26th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Siena, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Joe's got a new game for us to play called Bold Takes. Plus, with the Battle of Winterfell nearly upon us, we'll put together a list of the best battle scenes of all time. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
News broke this week that Rick Fox will be leaving his team Echo Fox following racial abuse from an investor towards him and others in the organization. Riot has since issued a statement saying they are investigating and will take all actions allowable within the terms of Echo Fox's LCS agreement. In addition, Echo Fox has confirmed the events and have demanded the person in question divest from the organization.
This is a really terrible situation. I mean, can you imagine a situation bad enough to make you want to leave the organization you helped found?
Yeah, that's pretty, like, I think it came for, like, threats to his family. Like,
yep,
yeah,
that was included.
That's the sort of situation. I mean, I guess, you know, Riot doing what they need to be doing here, well, launching an investigation, Echo Fox doing what they can do, demanding
apparently the ex-CEO Jace Hall had left because of a similar situation.
Yikes.
With possibly the same individual.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
Like, how has this situation been endured for this long?
That's my bigger question, is that if this is just now when this is happening and they've already had precedent for something like this, where was the public outcry at that moment?
Because we didn't know about it.
Well, like,
someone has to blow the whistle
on
that.
And that's part of the problem also, that I think because it is Rick Fox and who he is.
They also have email evidence of it now as well.
Exactly. So, I mean, it just seems like if this was going on for so long, then it should have acted earlier, and it feels like we're hearing more of this kind of story all the time, not just in esports either.
Yeah. Nintendo's annual earnings report is in, and it was a good year for them. They brought in about $10.7 billion in revenue.
Oh, my God.
Of which around $2.2 billion is profit, up from $1.6 billion last year. Nintendo's digital sales were also up 95% this year, accounting for about $1.06
billion. Well, they should be up, considering that they've actually put together a digital platform that functions.
Right.
The first time.
Finally, one that's not
trash. In the company's history.
Agreed. Well, as it turns out, Persona 5S is not a Switch release of the game.
Oh.
No, it turns out the S stands for Scramble, and the game will be a Dynasty Warriors-style title in the Persona 5 universe.
Why?
I'm buying it!
Who wanted this?
Nintendo made a game just for Norris?
They
literally made a game just for me.
Who prayed to the Atlas gods for this abomination?
I'm convinced this game was made to make Sarah angry. They didn't give her female protagonist. Instead, they gave her a Dynasty Warriors game.
I don't understand how Atlas has fans. First, they go, hey, don't stream the end of our game, which breaks with tradition with every other game that's ever been put out ever.
Yeah.
And then they come out and then they don't make a new female protagonist playable.
Nope.
And now they make a Dynasty Warriors clone?
Yep.
Oh, boy. When's the Dance Dance Revolution spinoff?
Guess what? It's going to be the coolest Dynasty Warriors game ever made.
Ugh. Overwatch League has signed a major legacy brand for the duration of the second season. They've notched Bud Light as a broadcast sponsor on ABC and ESPN, as well as activations at four events. Those events include Dallas's Ultimate Weekend, or as it's now known, the Bud Light Homestand Weekend Dallas.
Man.
For America.
Overwatch League killing it.
So, Joe, you know how when we brought this story up today, you said, you know, like, there's no way that you're going to get out of this without drinking a Bud Light.
Well,
I just
so happened.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I was like, not now.
Really, not now.
I wish. I thought about it for a second, and I actually stopped at a grocery store on my way home, but the clerk behind the counter gave me such a glare when I asked for Bud Light Lime that I felt like my life was in danger.
Right, yeah, no, you asked for Bud Light Lime, and he gave you a crisis intervention hotline number. I know. Sony has once again confirmed the PS5, this time via an earnings call. We weren't able to glean much about the system, except that the reason we started getting details was that the PS5 dev kits had started to go out to third-party developers, and they wanted to get ahead of the leaks. Interestingly, the call noted that the PS4 moved a little under 18 million units last year, bringing its lifetime total to 96.8 million.
Oh my god.
Another year even close to this one, and it'll surpass the Wii, which sits at 102 million units.
Which is the top console ever sold.
That's insane.
Oh my god, I
wonder what was the high watermark that was set by the PS2, because that was their highest selling console previous to the PS4.
I think it's still the third highest selling console.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know what I'm pretty sure PS4 is passing now. I mean, I don't know what it is.
That's a crazy level of adoption of a generation of a system.
Yes. And
especially because we're kind of on the cusp of like the future of video games being so unknown that we may not have consoles moving forward.
True.
So, like, I feel like, man, Sony really got the best out of the last, really, three generation cycles.
Yep. Epic Games has given an ultimatum to Steam, who continues to gnash teeth about Epic's practice of securing exclusives for their store.
This is my favorite story.
CEO Tim Sweeney has put his cards on the table.
I don't know about his cards.
Put
something else on the table.
He says, if Valve matches the revenue split that Epic offers without attaching major strings, they'll stop signing exclusive deals.
Let me tell you the reason that I love this, is because this is basically calling Steam out on all of their nonsense.
How does Tim walk around with that thing?
I have no idea.
How can he walk?
I hear a clanging of brass orbits.
Yeah.
Oh, it's your balls. It's your balls.
Correct.
And congratulations.
One of my favorite moments, like, in the last decade of gaming is that call out.
It really is, because, like, I mean, we all gamers really have identified how obnoxious it is that that Epic is going the exclusivity route, and have really begged for them to stop and to go, listen, if you just make this a little bit more equitable for the devs, we'll not only cut this out, we'll bring our games to your platform.
And that's the other part, is we'll consider launching Epic Games on Steam as
That's
well.
Bananas.
And it's a brilliant move. It's putting the ball in Steam's court and saying, like, all right.
What if you're Steam?
They either can't respond or they got to say yes.
If you're Valve, what does today look like?
Because if you say yes, everybody goes, hallelujah, they've done it. Oh my God, I never would have believed this. And then if they say no, they're like, ew, you guys don't want devs, you're money grubbers, you're...
And it's only at, 18 to 8% difference from what they already charge, depending on how much your game makes.
And that's why Valve is so screwed in this, because they either say no and they look like monsters, they don't respond and then they're never allowed to complain about it again, or they say yes and Epic gets the credit for making it happen.
I mean, Epic wins no matter which way this goes.
Masterclass.
Mastery.
Golden State has hired one of their NBA scouts, Tommy Abner, to be the coach of the Warriors Gaming. NBA 2K has become realistic enough that Golden State now believes that applying traditional NBA theory will translate to success on the virtual court. The move has opened up an interesting conversation asking what traditional and esports can learn from one another.
I think that this is so interesting because when we had the opportunity to sit down with Fab from Celtics Gaming, he said that they're actually, because you got to remember that there are five separate players when it comes to the team, you know, each team.
Right.
So actually some of that theory on how you work together as a team might translate over. And he did say that, listen, there's some meta things about the way that the game is played on the court that audiences want to see, that audiences end up responding to. And I feel like that is a very forgotten portion of the equation is, you know, like, if you're playing OWL, yes, you're playing to win, but aren't you also trying to make those big marquee plays that make you stand out as a player too?
Well,
you know what I mean?
And what we've also been hearing from some of the players for Warriors Gaming have gone on record saying, like, yeah, this is working. We're scoring more at, like, we're shocked too. Like, it is working.
But this but this is also something that's very, very easily translatable through traditional sports and esports, because the strategy is quite similar. And
sure.
The more you notice, I've noticed in my game in FIFA, the more I understand the fundamentals of what makes good soccer play, you become significantly better at FIFA.
Well, listen, I played a lot of WWE 2K19, and the things that make for a good match or an interesting match, you can kind of replicate those beats, including getting your ass kicked, too. And, I mean, like, it somehow adds to the whole thing of the game. I mean, not that WWE 2K19 is going to be competitive in any way, shape, or form.
But maybe it should be.
Maybe it should be.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. Yesterday, we talked about a story in which a League of Legends team was removed from the LMS region following a match-fixing scandal. Now we're getting reports that a lawsuit is in the reverse, that Dragon's Gate is actually suing Riot.
Yeah, so Dragon Gate owner Hu Weiji has spoken out in a series of posts slamming everyone from Riot to Garena to the players on his team. Another organization in Super Esports, whom he believes that they're being
backtracked. It's going well for him.
Every once in a while, do you ever? Do you ever have this thing? It's called synesthesia, where you can apply a color to a series of, like, I get a lot of orange out of this. There's like a distinct orange vibe out of this with maybe a little bit of red on top. I don't know.
I think
I'm just
so.
Getting that the synesthesia's kicking in.
The whataboutism in this is, like, shocking. When you read,
it's mind-blowing.
When you read these, like, it sounds like a tantrum. Like, I don't think I've ever read a series of posts.
It doesn't just sound like a tantrum. It's
a tantrum.
I don't ever think I've ever read a series of posts that I believed less in my entire life.
That says something when you look back at 2018.
Do we have a couple of select quotes?
So, I mean, a couple things. He claims that Garena, who, for those who don't know, they kind of run the competitive league scene in the LMS region. That they didn't allow him to contact Riot during the investigation, which led to a biased judgment. Which, first of all, if you own a team and you expect me to believe you have no back channels to talk to Riot, I don't believe
you. You have front channels. The league can't tell you that you can't talk to Riot. They can't do that.
He said that there was a lack of evidence, with Garena covering it up in order to fast-track Super Esports into the LMS. Also, he's upset because Super Esports is breaking the rules. They only have 5 players, and you have to have 6. We also...
What does that have to do with you throwing a match, though?
Good question.
Exactly.
He also accused the team's AD carry Soul, who was supposedly cut after refusing to throw a match, of being a problem gambler and a disruption on the team, saying that's why he was cut.
No, because he was the one person on the team who wasn't a gambler.
Okay, even if all that's true, you still threw a match.
Yeah.
Now, so if true, some of the things that he said would actually be very damning for both Riot, Garena, and a lot of the players. However, already former employees are coming out all over the place from Dragon Gate supporting the team, saying the working conditions are awful. It doesn't look good, man.
And listen, I think that there's an underscored message here that, you know, if you have talent, if you are one of these players that is talented and looking, maybe you're shopping organizations, maybe you're looking to join a team. Do your homework.
Do your research.
Do your homework. Please, just do yourself a favor before you sign a contract. Know the people that you're signing up with. Because let me tell you, this story is repeated all too often, where either, you know, management is scummy, there's something not right, and then players aren't getting paid
at
the end of the day.
And it's crazy because you took the words exactly out of my mouth. I instantly thought of all these esports teams that we've seen pop up in the past, you know, 6 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And seeing them fold because the players can't get paid, or you can't get in contact with the league, which I'm almost absolutely sure is illegal, and you can't do that. It's...
If you want me to believe that you don't have the email address for
somebody at
Riot...
Yeah.
I'm hard pressed.
We know people at Riot. We're not there. We don't go to any of the tournaments.
There is no way that I have access to their head of esports and you don't.
Exactly.
There's no way.
It's absolutely absurd. But you're right. Yeah. You got to do your homework, because there's gonna be a lot of people starting up these organizations.
Exactly.
And trying to get talent and trying to get young kids, essentially, you know, to buy into what they're doing. Yes, Nate, again, I will echo that. please do your homework,
I am so tired of seeing these stories happen again and again. And of course, it is at the end of the day the players who are end up victimized by this. And nobody wants to see that situation play out.
And once again, man, players unions.
We come back to this again. Yeah, I mean, having something that advocates for the players' best interest is something that, again, stories like this keep showing how necessary it is. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How important do you think this is? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, in honor of the upcoming Battle of Winterfell, we'll put together a list of the best battle scenes of all time. That's movie, video game, or TV. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Joe's come up with a new game for us to play. It's called Bold Takes, and we'll learn how to play it. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and nerd radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. We love games here on Checkpoint XP, so much so we dedicate our entire show to them. And Joe's got a new one for us to play today. It's called Bold Takes. So, Joe, how the hell are we playing this?
All right, so basically I've come up with a series of bold, what I consider to be bold predictions that are within the realm of possibility for E3 this year. I'm not predicting Norris will win a Fortnite tournament at E3. That's not within the realm of possibility. Okay.
These are, we're things also that, not getting the next Diablo.
Right, these are things that could actually happen, and what you guys are going to do is after each one, you're going to tell me whether you think it will definitely happen, it might happen, or it won't happen, and you have to tell me why. Each of you will get a chance to respond. Sound easy enough?
Okay. All right.
All right. Here's my first bold take for E3. Sony will hold a conference and formally unveil the PS5 within a week before or after E3. Norris, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Will it happen? Will it not happen? And why?
You know what? I'm going to lean on saying it won't happen, simply because I think Sony at this point is so up its own butt right now that literally I think them wanting to conflate anything at E3, they were like, no, we are Sony, we'll have our own week, and it's going to be only us because we're Sony. And I feel like they've already kind of shown that with the E3 decision. So yeah, I'll say that I don't think they'll do it. I think they'll wait either a little bit later in the summer or near the holidays.
All right, Nate, your thoughts?
I definitely don't think they're going to, mostly because they're out there running their mouths in the press right now about the PlayStation 5. You might think, oh, well, if they're talking about it, they might be more inclined to show it off somewhere around E3. But I think it's going to be much farther out from that. Maybe 3 months to 6 months after that we'll actually see the announcement at. And I do agree with you, Norris. I do think it'll be a dedicated thing that will celebrate the greatness and grandness of Sony.
Okay.
Robbie? I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that it will happen afterwards. I'm actually going to use Norris's reason why. I do think that they're so far full of themselves that they have so much faith in it. They will go a week after saying that was E3. Now we're taking all the spotlight.
Now for the real conference.
Yep.
Okay. I like it. All
interesting.
Right. Bold take number two.
All right.
Microsoft has said that they're going to be going all out on their press conference this year with the absence of Sony. But despite this, they won't even be in the top three rated press conferences this year. Top three. Nate, I'll let you go first this time.
I think that that is more than likely. Yeah, I think that there's a pretty good shot at that, because even when Microsoft really tries, I mean really, really tries, because they try their little heart out sometimes.
They do.
They don't hit the mark. They never hit the mark. And I don't know if it's because of their business practices. They've been pushing the exclusivity, that kind of stuff. But it just, it always rings hollow. And I think whatever they're going to put together, it's going to ring hollow again.
Robbie? This is definitely a tough one. I'm not saying that they're going to make it into the top three because what they're bringing is going to be worthy of top three. But with Sony leaving, they might get in kind of by default. I mean, what are they going to beat? Square Enix? Probably.
Okay.
Bethesda just had a great year and they kind of flip-flop every other. So I'm going to say, yeah, they might just by default squeak into a top three spot.
Norris, your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's dependent to see if Google makes an announcement that anything is happening at E3, which we have no rumblings of that whatsoever. But if they make a game time decision and just flip a switch on whatever that they have, I think that very greatly muddies the water for definitely Microsoft, because that becomes the biggest story. And I think you do have a couple of devs that, because they've had some bad years, may step it up for this year. Specifically because Sony is not in the mix. I think that Microsoft has a great chance at not moving the needle this year.
I can name three conferences off the top of my head that have the potential to be better. Nintendo, Bethesda, Ubisoft.
Fair enough.
All right, yeah, maybe.
All right. Robbie, you're going to go first on this one.
Okay.
EA, following a rough year with Anthem and Battlefield, will be actively booed during their press conference.
That's a very good chance, and really just look back at all the past years on why. What could they possibly bring this year that would garner attention for them?
Okay. Norris, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm going to be inclined to agree. I feel like even if they announce anything new or try to revive an old franchise, they would be booed harder because nobody trusts them anymore. And that's the big issue. They've lost all trust with the consumers. There are people who are buying their games out of habit at this point. And I feel like that would be the massive... Dude, they come out and announce Mass Effect's back.
We don't trust you.
All right, Nate, your thoughts?
I think that this is definitely going to happen because I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to be the one leading that charge. I'm going to make the entire room boo as much as Roman Reigns coming out before he announced he had cancer.
EA is Roman Reigns.
It really is.
Joe, it really is. Volkai in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp goes, EA getting booed? That's a mild take.
Yeah. I've already sharpen my pitchfork. Let's do this.
Oh my God.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We're currently playing a brand new game Joe's concocted called Bold Takes, and I think we've got time enough for maybe one, maybe two more rounds, all depending. Right. So let's get some extra bold takes.
This year's conference will be the most underwhelming in a decade. Norris, you're going to lead us off on this one.
Oh, facts.
Think so?
Facts.
Okay.
We're not going to get enough from new consoles. You have most of the beloved franchises outside of Elder Scrolls have either been announced or had a game come out within the past couple years. So I don't see, unless it's a truly unique new IP that just knocks everybody to the floor, I don't even see what possibly could be announced that will just, you know, do anything to beat the past couple of years.
Nate, your thoughts?
One more time, what is it?
This will be the most underwhelming conference in a decade.
Yeah, I think that the potential's definitely there. With Sony not bothering to show, there's enough of a wild card situation where, yeah, I could see this going badly.
Look no further than Square Enix, who doesn't even have a conference. They put out a trailer of stuff that you've probably already seen in other conferences, and they're taking Sony's spot.
To that point, let's lightning round this last one.
There we go.
A new Final Fantasy will be teased this year. Nate, you can lead us off with that one.
Oh, Square Enix. Yeah, I think that there's a pretty decent possibility of that. I mean, Square Enix has so many different, CG movies that they have in their back pocket that they could roll out any number of things. We may have already seen the next Final Fantasy in development. We just don't even know it yet.
I'm going to put a small amendment on that. A new Final Fantasy quotation marks. It's not a main numbered one.
Oh,
so not Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, that's a tricky one because you didn't specify.
That's true.
Norris, what about you? I think they announced a mainline because that's the last tug on the strings that they're going to be able to have.
And we'll get it in 20 years.
Yes, to keep people involved in this company. I think that's going to be their Hail Mary, man.
I'd kind of respect if they said Final Fantasy 16 coming 2029. If they just like
just the title,
way.
Nothing else.
Just says
I might be okay with
and
that.
And they just cop to it. Like, yeah, it's going to take 50 years to make.
I might be okay with that. Dark Flux in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp saying FF15 2. No. All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think? What are your own bold takes about E3? Connect with us on social media. That's checkpointxp on Facebook and Twitter and checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next, in honor of the upcoming Battle of Winterfell, we'll be putting together a list of the best battle scenes of all time. Whether it's movies, whether it's video games, hell, I'll even take comic books. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. That means we're one of the cool kids. We've got tons of new emotes, including 2 brand new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. That's you guys. You can celebrate the launch of the new Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective with the brand new Sarah emote. Check it out over at our Twitch page over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We're only 2 days away from the Battle of Winterfell, and in celebration, we're going to create a list of the best battle scenes of all time. Now, TV, film, video games, I'll even take comic books, are acceptable here. These are just the best battle scenes ever committed to screen or book page, I guess. I'll take
medium.
It.
Medium.
Yeah, that's right.
Ever conceived.
There we go. I like it. So I've got a list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've got the official list.
I actually have a list.
Well done. All right. What's your first one, Nate?
My first one off of my favorite battles list is Helm's Deep.
Ooh.
Good one.
Lord of the Rings.
We're shooting straight to the top.
Setting the bar
high. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to beat that one. I mean, just the build up for the first 2/3 of the movie, and then it takes the entire last third of the movie to get through the entire battle sequence. Whether it was Gimli and Legolas riffing with one another, which, by the way, can go so badly. That could go so badly. You can become R2-D2 and C-3PO in Attack of the Clones in a heartbeat. If just one of those jokes doesn't land, all of them land.
Yeah.
Aragorn, awesome. The whole sequence, awesome. And then Then you got Gandalf coming in at the end and look to the east. Come on! It is one of the best battle sequences ever.
All right. I'm going to go way further back. Star Wars, The Battle of Hoth.
Oh, come on.
Do we even need to discuss it? Norse, go ahead. It's your turn.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to beat Hoth.
The Battle of Hoth. I mean, even in Star Wars, which has a lot of great battles.
There is a problem with that battle, though.
What's
Hoth?
That?
There is. There's a critical problem with that battle.
Which is? That it ends?
Yeah, it's not the whole movie.
That they removed the Wampa scene.
Yes.
Where C-3PO
tears the sign off the door. Yeah, specifically that we don't get to see Darth Vader go, nope, not dealing with that, and leave.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Nate for his pick. Hope they don't get all C-3PO on us on my pick. They need more C-3PO.
Yeah.
Okay, Nate, okay.
You know what? Hey. Two different eras of C-3PO. Two very different writers.
So a pinch of 3PO is okay.
Yeah.
Just a pinch.
Just a pinch.
It's okay. Like any good spice. You just need a little bit.
That's right.
Just all right, Norris, what do you got?
Listen, man, I went straight up full blown testosterone when I was thinking about this. The opening battle scene from Gladiator.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Point blank, we'll period. As soon as them Germanians popped out of them woods, you knew it was game seven, baby. It was over.
That's a pretty good one.
I like that.
That's a pretty good one. What about you, Joe?
You know what? I got to borrow one straight out of Game of Thrones. I need the Battle of Blackwater Bay.
Ooh.
See? I recently rewatched that episode, which has one of my all time favorite lines in all of Game of Thrones. There's a lot of brave men out there. Let's go kill them.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it is the best.
I will challenge you. I will challenge you on the Battle of Blackwater Bay, because I think when you really break it down, outside of the initial explosion, the rest of the episode is much better than the actual conflict and action itself.
I mean, I don't know that really takes away from how good that battle is, though. The episode, you're right, is great, and obviously everything going on with Cersei is amazing.
It's my favorite episode of a Game of Thrones, period.
But I don't think that takes away from how good the battle is. I think it's just amplified by it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the actual fighting,
if that's
probably
the only thing you take into account,
yeah,
like the battle itself.
No, when they get through the gates and start fighting inside the city, oh, it's so good.
But just that first, that even just the scene of the tension waiting for the ships to come out of the mist, and
yes,
it's just the one. Come on, like that's
brilliantly executed. I agree. I think it's an amazing battle, but I also think the rest of the episode makes that battle better than what it technically is.
Does our Twitch chat have anything they'd like to add to the conversation? Do they want to add to the list, or should we just go right back to
it? We actually have Omega Welltalk, who says the battle for Deep Space Nine from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
All right, here's why I'm going to say that's only partially accurate. It is an amazing battle, but I don't know if it counts that. It's great because the rest of the series was a snooze fest. Deep Snooze Nine is a rough go. But
I've never,
the Battle for Deep Space Nine is awesome.
I've never made it through an episode without falling asleep.
I would believe that.
Of Deep Space Nine?
All right, are we back to me now?
We're back to you.
All right, my second pick. And because I felt like, okay, we could just keep naming movie battle sequences until the end of time.
Sure.
I needed to pick one from a video game.
Okay.
And so I went with Sovngarde, the very end of Skyrim. Where you're,
really?
Where you're fighting the gigantic fucking dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, love that sequence.
That's a great
love
sequence.
That sequence.
All right. That's one.
Especially because I didn't expect to go to Sovngarde. I didn't expect, I was like, oh, they're not going to program. Oh, they did. Wow. Okay.
I guess we're going to Sovngarde.
We're going to Sovngarde. Cool.
All right, so I'm actually going to amend one of my picks here that I had on my list. Since at the beginning we said the battles ever conceived, whether it's screen or page, I'm going to go the one that started with the elves, the dwarves, and the humans, but then the orcs came, and then Gandalf shows up with the eagles, the Battle of the Five Armies. And I'm not talking about from this terrible Hobbit movie. I'm talking right from the pages.
The Battle of the Five Armies.
That actually is a very good one. That's good. Because they, listen, the Hobbit movies are not as bad as everyone proclaims them to be.
But they're not as good
but
as Lord of the Rings.
Specifically, that battle sequence was really underwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I've got
that.
Battle of the Five Armies specifically in the book.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take that.
For me, it is going to be the actual best battle in all of Game of Thrones so far, and
like
that's
I can
the battle.
Start writing it,
and that's the Battle of the Bastards.
The Battle of the Bastards.
That, it's hard to argue with that because of just how beautifully it's shot.
One of the most cinematographic. That's not right.
Cinematerrific.
Beautifully shot.
Yeah. It is. It is. And I mean, even just the way it's shot in terms of the actual physical manifestation of chaos and being overwhelmed by war, by literally on camera almost squeezing Jon Snow to death, trampling him.
That they shoot that so suffocatingly.
Yes,
like you watching it, like you feel like you start taking deeper breath.
But listen,
it's so.
But
well
that
done.
Is. But that's a metaphor for Jon Snow in his duty, his burden as
it's fair
who he is.
That's right.
All right, I'm gonna take us back a little ways, and I'm going to say the Battle of Normandy and Saving Private Ryan.
Oh.
Which is, I think, an incredible sequence.
One.
And especially for the time when that was shot.
Yeah.
It was, like, I remember them showing that in school and, like, us having to get, like, permission slip signed to watch that.
It's
in
an intense sequence.
Because it's an intense scene
they
for, like,
hold
eighth graders
back.
To watch.
Yeah.
No,
because,
I
mean,
a lot of
death scenes in war movies previous to that, it was, like, romanticized.
It was,
I mean, not always. I mean, you did have Rambo First Blood, but I'm
saying,
just saying.
You got to squad mate and just go and tell my mama.
From the moment the gates go down and like that whole first like squadron gets
turned into fucking hamburger.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
And it's because it's how, and there you're right, it's how unceremonious it is.
It is. That's exactly it. Yeah. Because you want to think every loss is like this huge, gigantic tragedy.
It's an instant.
And it's just like,
there's just piles of people.
There's just piles of dead people wherever you look. Yeah. That's an amazing
from
sequence.
From the chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, Volkai says that if you're counting books, the last battle from the Wheel of Time series is probably more epic than any other single battle. It is a single chapter that in the audiobook is 9 hours long and spans across the world. The world of dreams and the very threads of reality are wielded.
I'll take it. Wheel of Time final battle. Got
all
it.
Right. So, all right. Are we back on me?
Back to
we
you.
Are.
So I want to send a special shout out because I love the action sequence, but it's not quite a battle sequence. And that's in Alien 2. Game over, man. Game over. Not quite a battle sequence. It's an action sequence.
I actually wanted to put that one in, too, when they go down to look for the aliens and they discover the queen for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing sequence.
Great sequence, but it's more of an action sequence because there's more chasing than there is battling.
Yeah.
So I put... And really, you can take any of the fights out of this movie, but the very last fight in Starship Troopers.
The bug hunt?
Yes.
All right.
The bug hunt.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
So me trying to take Klyndathu was a little bit better because it was like,
listen,
we don't know what we're dealing with.
I am going to, I got to embrace the cheesiness of Starship Troopers here. And, but like, you got to remember, like getting ripped apart by CGI bugs at that point was a brand new thing for cinema and how mind blowing that was to see that for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in honor of what we can't talk about just yet, I am going to put out the one that started all that proved that it can be done despite DC not being able to do it, and that is the Battle of New York.
New York, yes.
That's a good one.
Okay, that's fair enough.
That is a very good one.
The Mad Men, they did it.
Yeah.
Norris.
All right, this one is completely emotional. I'm going to be honest, it's completely emotional.
You mean like an emotional battle?
No, emotional to me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's
a personal selection for you.
The FF8, the Battle of Dalet.
Oh, the Dalet sequence.
The landing sequence.
Oh,
where
okay.
The tension and the swell up of the music and the boats with all the seed recruits on it, and you hit land, and the music picks up, and people are shooting, and you run out, and it's
explosions
just
explosions going off.
Explosions.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, I didn't know video games could make me feel like a war just started.
I will give this to you only if the canon is that you don't destroy the giant mechanized robot and get to see Quistis take it out with the gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is a great scene.
No, you get all the
in my head.
You get the bonus AP if you take it out, but you don't get one of the best cutscenes in the game, which is a bummer. So, Nate, you started us off with Lord of the Rings, and I got to take us back for the Battle of Minas Tirith.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as big big as Helm's Deep was, it didn't have a ghost army overwhelming an elephant in the background.
That was about to say, because Cersei would have liked that battle because it had an elephant.
Kill me.
It's true. I am no man. We also get the sequence of Legolas taking down the elephant. That still only counts as one.
Yes.
Yes.
A great sequence, but I think it was better in the books. Like, honestly,
way better in
the books, especially the ghost army part of that whole thing. Way better executed in the books. It was just kind of like done very, very quickly for the movie.
Yeah.
Because you get that like initial wave of ghosts and then they just disappear.
Okay. In a movie where nothing was done quickly, by
That's
the way.
True. Yeah.
God, that movie dragged.
Nine and a half hours and seven different endings.
Gallant from our chat, I think, introduces a very important element to our list with South Park, the World of Warcraft battle.
No. If you're going to put a South Park battle in here and you don't put the War for Imagination Land, you're out of your damn mind.
All right.
That's because they made that on purpose, like the best animated battle sequence in South Park history.
I think we'll just put South Park on there for the 15th one.
It's fair. They got a
lot
of
don't have very
ones.
Many battles. We'll just. You're
South
right.
South Park.
I think South Park's battles, we can take that as our last suggestion.
What's the one where Kenny actually turns into an anime princess?
Is
that Imagination
No,
Land?
That no. is the Game of Thrones episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Although, that should bring up the golden PSP battle, where Kenny controls the forces of heaven versus hell. It's the most epic battle ever, and we don't see any of it.
Yeah, South Park I think can take its own at the bottom.
South Park
of the
is its
yeah,
own
okay.
Plot.
I'll accept
right,
it. One more time. Let's go over this list one more time.
The Battle of Helm's Deep, the Battle of Hoth, the opening of Gladiator, the Battle of Blackwater Bay, the Battle for Deep Space Nine, Sovngarde and Skyrim, Battle of the Five Armies, specifically in the book, the Battle of the Bastards, the Battle of Normandy and Saving Private Ryan, the Wheel of Time final battle, Starship Troopers final battle, the Battle of New York, FF8's Dalet sequence, the Battle of Minas Tirith, and South Park.
How did we only get two video game battle sequences on there?
That's what
you know
say.
What? Because so often when you get battle sequences in video games, they're very personal. That's just true. It's your part.
I think the better question for a video game would be, what is the best depiction of a war? Not necessarily a battle, but a war.
Mass Effect taking Earth
could easily be on this
list. That is very good.
But even that's not a battle.
It's a slaughter.
Yeah.
It's an invasion.
If you want to do Halo, when the Covenant invade Earth for the first time, that's a huge battle.
And here's the thing. I actually tried to, for a little bit of inspiration, Google like best video game battles of all time, and all that came up was best boss battles.
Right.
Or just a list of battles.
That's what I'm saying. Because you can say like, what's the best depictions of a war and what it does, I think that, I mean, like, even at FF11, I hated most of Wings of the Goddess, but I like getting to Sandoria because it felt like a city that was fighting.
When they released Wings of the Goddess and put out the
campaign,
not the campaign, but before they released it, they released the timeline of the Great War
as we know it,
and we'd never gotten to see exactly what happened during the Great War.
You know what?
Hold on, though.
The cinematic that we get with Answers, the battle on the Carteneau Flats.
Yeah,
that's pretty good depiction.
Actually, I'm remiss that we didn't put that on there because that might be one of the single best cutscenes I've ever seen. I show that cutscene to people who don't like video
games. And they're like, I want to play that game.
And they're like, wow.
Yeah.
I've had people go, I actually want to play that game. I'm like, you don't.
All right, we're gonna have to leave the discussion right there. But listen, we want to hear from you. Can you name some of your favorite battle sequences that maybe just kind of slipped our mind? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's gonna do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender.
Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.